go around and they teach the gospel and various Torah-related subjects to the various prisoners that are in the prisons in Texas and other places that they go. We've known Ron and Donna for 5 years that we've been coming to Seeds of Inner Joy, and they're a great blessing, their temperament and their understanding, and all of the organization of Seeds of Inner Joy. The talk that Ron is going to talk about today is called Seeds of Inner Joy 101. So for some of you, this may be your first Sukkot, and for others, you may have been here before or other feast sites. The purpose is to acquaint the newer brethren to, first of all, Season of Our Joy, and then to a Sukkot celebration. What is the mission of Season of Our Joy, and what can you come to expect in this week to come? Ron will explore many of the opportunities that you will have to serve others, which is a big part of this particular feast site and this Sukkot celebration. And most effective way to meet other people, which we have found to be a great benefit to us personally. We came here 5 years ago. We met some wonderful people that we've stayed in touch with over the years. And Ron will also be talking about how you can fully integrate yourself into the joy of the festival. Audience participation will be required, so listen carefully. Ron McCown.
I'm kind of the dinosaur for the group. Y'all won't need to read this because I'm not going to have anything up there. But just then, man, we've had a prayer, but I'm going to pray again. And we read the Psalms of David, and many of those are prayers. This is a prayer that Mr. Paul Harvey read over his radio program. And I think it came from a chaplain who opened a service in a Kansas legislature. He didn't give credit to where it came from, but I think that's where the prayer originally came from. And we know that our nation's in trouble. We know that the leadership of Israel is, to my way of thinking, they're headed the wrong direction. Our nation doesn't seem to want to support them again. But today, we want to ask Yahweh for the peace in Jerusalem. It's His city, and this is His festival time. And we pray that Jerusalem will live in peace for the next 7 or 8 days. Heavenly Father, we come before You today to ask Your forgiveness and seek Your direction and guidance. We know Your word says, woe to those who call evil good. But that's exactly what our nation has done. We've lost our spiritual equilibrium. We've reversed our values. We exploit the poor and call it lottery. We have rewarded laziness and call it welfare. We kill our unborn children and call it choice. We shoot abortionists and call it justifiable. We have neglected to discipline our children, and we call it building self-esteem. We've abused power, and we call it politics. We've coveted our neighbor's possessions, and we call it ambition. We pollute the air with profanity and pornography, and we call it freedom of expression. We have ridiculed the time-honored value of our forefathers and call it enlightenment. Search us, Yahweh. Know our hearts today. Cleanse us from these sins, national sins and personal sins, and set us free. Amen.
Y'all can be seated. I didn't see it up here.
For those of you who have not figured out who I am, my name is Ron McCown. I'm the de facto pastor of the Fellowship Church of God, and that's another story for another time. I have been married 40 years to a true Proverbs 31 woman, and I don't know where she is at this minute. Oh, there she is in the back. That's my wife, Donna. I had her, when I wrote this, she always sits on the front row, and she was there a while ago, and now she's back there. She does this to me all the time. The first thing that I want you to know this morning when we start talking about Feast 101 is that this is your feast. This is not our feast. We are not here to rule you. We're here to allow you opportunities. We do not keep roll. You didn't sign in at the door, so we don't know if you're here. We don't have a registration list where we're going to check you off with activities. We just want you to know that come to celebrate and rejoice. That's what the feast is about. If you have or hear of something that's different from what our activity is offering, feel free to go to it if that's where you're led to go. We are going to offer you teaching opportunities or learning opportunities. But we're not the only people that know things. There are a lot of very studied people here in this group. And you'll find them and you'll talk to them and you'll learn from them as well as us. The one qualification I would give that is do not hold your feast site in our feast site. We've had several groups that have come to us over the years and they've had their own feast site and used us for entertainment. And we really don't care for that too much. If you want to hold your own feast site, or you have a different agenda than what we do, go out here and rent your own place. Come and ask us what we've done in the past, and we'll be glad to tell you what we did. And then you can go out and do it right, because we are still working on making this a good feast for everybody. We have put together an excellent and varied presentation of speakers who will be talking to you on subjects of interest. You will have a chance at this festival to get a lot of head knowledge, and that's a good thing. I'm a traditional kind of guy. My wife says that I hate change, and that's hate with big, bold letters, like a 48 font letter. But there are traditions that are good. We saw some last night with the ending of the Sabbath. But Joe Good came to our feast site and he told us, he said in Israel one of the things they do is they celebrate the feast with chocolate. So the next year, or maybe that year, I came out with a basket. And I don't know where I'm going to put this. For the time being, I put it right here. We'll get it down where you can reach it. But that's chocolate and candy. And you're welcome to come take any of this, or part of it at least. If you don't find what you like in the basket, bring what you like and put it in. Share it. A word of warning, though, I know that our children do not open the candy and drop the wrapper on the floor. So if I find a wrapper on the floor, I'll know some adult did it. Another thing I do at the feast, I try to speak early. And what I'd like to do right now, I'd like everyone who is, this is your first time at a feast at all to stand up, please. Y'all remain standing. Now I want all the people that this is your first time at Season of Our Joy to stand up. Y'all remain standing just a minute. Now for all you people that are still seated, take a look around. It is your responsibility to see that these people have a great feast. Meet them. Take them out to dinner, which is problematic here, but do the best you can. Invite them over to your campfire. Make sure that they have a great feast. You can come to this feast and go away feeling lonely and that no one cared for you. And I don't want that to happen. So y'all look around. Pick out faces. Thank y'all. Be seated. We're really happy you're here. We're happy you came to celebrate with us. And we want you to celebrate and rejoice. We want you to be with us where we are. We want to meet you. We want to get to know who you are. And the feast people are busy people. But we will certainly try to take a few minutes to speak to you and recognize who you are. And you've all got a great story to tell. And I wish I had the time to sit and listen to all of them. Because we all came from different places, different angles. We've all got here by a different path. But we're all here together today. So, if you're looking for me or Donna, we'll either be back in the pavilion, or we'll be in the resource room, or we'll be in the kitchen that's attached to 1311. And find us. We'll be glad to talk to you and fellowship with you. And maybe one night we can stir up a big pot of chili and some of you can come over. This is a new feast site for us, and as with all feast sites, there are a few things that we didn't take into account. And we apologize for that, but we always try to improve with the next year. I hope that everyone is in a rejoicing mood. So rejoice! Again, rejoice! That's it. We are here to worship the Creator of the universe. This is a moed, an appointed time. And we're certain that at His appointed times, our Father will meet with us. We have made the effort to be here. We know that this is not the temple. And we know that Jerusalem is the place that we really want to go for the festival. But that's not to be this year, perhaps next year in Jerusalem. But in Leviticus 23, which we read in the Torah study yesterday, the Moed start off with the weekly Sabbath. And although new moons are not listed in Leviticus 23, there is ample proof that we should observe new moons because that's what sets our calendar. He gave us those new moons so we could see when the month started, because He is very specific sometimes on the timing of an event. So we need to know in the spring when the year has started. We begin in the spring with Passover and the days of unleavened bread. And for those that are new, you might say, well, how do I do a Passover? And we can get you information on that. You can do a Passover in your house for your family and for your friends. You can observe the days of unleavened bread. God, and you say, well, there's no Jewish store around where I can buy unleavened bread. I hate matzah. You can't put enough chocolate on matzah to make it taste good. But we have a lot of recipes where we make our own unleavened bread, and it tastes good to me. Now, I still eat matzah. I take a piece every day, but I don't necessarily like it. So that's just me. I know some people that love matzah and eat it year-round, and I've got several boxes that they can have. After the days of Passover and unleavened bread, we wait 50 days and we have Shavuot. And then we know that each of the festivals has meaning. It's a plan of salvation. But we go through a long, hot summer and we wait for the days of the fall feast. And the new moon at Tishrei, we celebrate as trumpets. Then we come to another feast, which is the most unusual, because at a feast you're supposed to eat and enjoy yourself. But we have a feast that's a fast, when you don't eat, but you still enjoy yourself and rejoice. We then come to this festival, season of our joy, season of ingathering, Festival of Lights. There are many names for the festival that we are observing today. But it is only a seven-day festival. But if you read in Leviticus 23, it says, do this for 7 days and on the eighth day. So there is a separate festival, the eighth-day festival. And it has a whole different meaning, which I'll wait for that day to be explained to you. The whole picture of the feast days is a plan of salvation. And I'm not going to talk to you about that right now. I want to get down to the nuts and bolts of our festival and how you can participate. But if you don't know what the picture of salvation in the Holy Days is about, stop me and ask me, or you can ask anybody in the leadership or any of the older people here. They know what those feast days represent. And we will be glad to tell you. Now, I'm going to start off with a few questions. And I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I don't want to embarrass anybody. These are what they call them, rhetorical questions. I want to ask you why you're here at this feast site. Why did you choose us? We know that many people have come in the past, they recommend us to their friends. Some of you find us on the internet. But what was it that spurred you to come to this little backwater place in Missouri? That's a question that you need to answer for yourself. I sincerely hope and pray that you came here to worship Yahweh. And I hope that it is in your heart to worship Him as we go through this rehearsal. There is no temple. So what we do is a rehearsal to acquaint you with the things that will go on at the temple. We teach you the things that will help you grow on your path. And this is a rehearsal in miniature, because I know of probably 50 other feast sites where your brethren have gathered together and they're celebrating just as we are. I also know of at least 100 men in prison that would give their right arm to be sitting in that seat beside you. Not just that they would like to get out of prison, but they would like to be here at this festival. It's their desire when they get out to find congregations and to celebrate in the festivals. And if you run over a prisoner coming to your congregation, be kind to him, because he's gone through a lot in prison to get to your congregation. We know that when the Messiah returns, we'll gather for the great Sukkot in Jerusalem, and I look forward to that. I want to begin with a little bit of scripture. My wife says if you're going to preach, you ought to use at least one scripture. And of course, as always, Leviticus 23 is a good place to start. It says in verse 1, Yahweh spoke to Moshe, speak to the sons of Israel and say to them, the Lord's appointed times you shall proclaim as holy convocations. These appointed times of mine. And then follows the whole list of the feast that I just told you about. We are in tabernacles. We are in Sukkot. We are at the Feast of the Nations. We're at the Feast of Booths. It's the Festival of Light, the Festival of Ingathering. It has lots of names, and they all represent a facet of what this festival is about. The main purpose for this festival is to teach us how to live when Messiah comes back and sets up the kingdom and we rule with him for 1,000 years. That's the purpose of this rehearsal. In verse 35 it says, on the first day you'll have a holy convocation, do no laborious work of any kind. This is a high Sabbath. It was yesterday. Our service was different yesterday because it was a Sabbath. Now, next year, our high Sabbath will not be on the Sabbath. It'll be during the week. So we'll have a high Sabbath, a weekly Sabbath, and another high Sabbath at the end of the feast. It says in verse 36, for 7 days you'll present an offering by fire. On the eighth day you'll have a holy convocation. Present an offering by fire to Yahweh. It's an assembly. Do no laborious work. So we see again here that the eighth day is considered to be a separate festival. It says that we're to offer a sacrifice by fire. We are not at the temple. The only place a sacrifice by fire could be offered properly is on the altar that sits before the temple. So I will guarantee you that we're not going to slaughter any sheep or bull. The only bull that we're going to take care of is hamburger tonight. What we expect in the way of a sacrifice here is what it tells us in Psalms 51, 17 through 19. The sacrifices of Yahweh of broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O Yahweh, thou wilt not despise. By thy favor be good to Zion, build the walls of Jerusalem. Then thou wilt delight in righteous sacrifice and burnt offering and whole burnt offering, and young bulls will be offered on thy altar. During this festival, if there was a temple, there would be a sacrifice of 70 bulls to represent the nation. There's a different number that are sacrificed each day, but the total is 70 when it's over. And then there's another bull offered for Israel. The 70 represent the nation. That's why this is the Feast of Nations. It's the Feast of Ingathering. It's the time that we're to teach others. The sacrifice that we want from you as Season of Our Joy is to see the ability to make the necessary adjustments for things that go wrong, things we overlooked. but to not let that dampen your spirit for the next 8 days. We want to worship in word, song, and dance. We want to lift up our voices to Yahweh. We want to have pure hearts that are reaching out to others. If any of you are at this festival and you came here for some reason besides to worship Yahweh and to rejoice and to serve others, there's the door right back there. Because you will not be happy at this festival. And if you have another agenda than the one we're offering, like I said earlier, go start your own FESAT and we'll be glad to help you out with what we've done in the past and the right direction. If you stay, you will cause dissension. If you came with wrong attitude, you'll cause dissension, and this will put a spot and a wrinkle in our festival here. We love you, but don't come with any agenda besides to worship Yahweh. In verse 39 it says, on exactly the 15th day of the 7th month, you together in the crops of your land, you shall celebrate the feast of Yahweh for 7 days, and rest on the first day and rest on the 8th day. Again, we see that this rest makes it a high day. So we're looking at a special day on the 8th day. Now, part of what that represents is that, have you ever gone to a place like family reunion and you meet some cousins there and y'all get along really great, and the family reunion's over and y'all get together and say, hey man, why don't we go out to our house and we'll just spend another day together? Well, that's what the 8th day festival is really about. But in verse 40 it says, you shall rejoice before Yahweh your Elohim. Say it again. Rejoice! Rejoice! This is what we can speak into being, that we rejoice and we celebrate. Another question that I want to ask, besides why are you here this year, is where are you going to the festival next year? And that may sound like a strange question, but do you know when the leadership of the Season of Our Joy begins to plan for next year's festival? It's when we begin to see this one come together this year. We're already making notes of things that need changes, that need to be improved and refined. We begin to do this. This festival, for us, takes up a great deal of our whole year. And we want you to know that if you will seriously consider making a commitment to come back to this festival next year, we need you. I mean, it's fine for you to come to the festival and sit in your chair and be comfortable and enjoy the work everybody else does, but we need you to step forward and say, I will take charge of this activity, this small portion, and I'll carry it through. You know, we have 3 fellowship meals, and we really need somebody that says, hey, I will just take over seeing that the room's set up, and because we got a feast trailer full of supplies, we've got the stuff, and when we get here, we have a lot of volunteer help, and I appreciate that. But they come in, they say, what can I do? I need to be able to point to somebody and say, go see them. And you delegate the duties. Today we're going to have a hamburger supper and we're going to need some help. But more importantly, we need your help next year, and we need to know about it 3 or 4 or 5 months in advance, that you've made a commitment to come here and you're willing to take on some degree of responsibility. We'll be holding a meeting of organization for next year's festival on Friday at 1:15 to 3, and I don't know exactly where, but look in your bulletin, your book. How many of you have your book with you that you received at registration? That is your Bible for what's happening here. We tried to put a page in there for every activity. When you're new to the walk, you're new to the faith, you come into a fellowship or you come to a festival, and if you're very new, you've just discovered the Sabbath and begin to walk in it, and you see the holy days and you say, well, I'm going to go and see what this is about. And you walk in the door and we throw words at you like Shema. You know, Hebrew, what does that mean? That means, hear, O Israel. And I'll let you in on another little secret. If you do not believe that you are Israel, you shouldn't be here. We are the people of Israel. The Bible was written to Israel. If you don't believe you're Israel, the book doesn't apply to you. Regardless of how good the principles sound, as you read through the book, there are commandments. And when you come to these commandments, you need to fulfill them to the best of your ability. And when you get to the New Jerusalem, if you get that far, there are 12 gates that lead into the city. Over every gate is the name of one of the tribes of Israel. You see these banners. They are tribes of Israel. They're all over the gates. You do not enter the city unless you're entering through one of these gates because you're a part of that tribe. Now, what tribe I am of Israel, I cannot give you a clue. But if I walk as an Israelite, I know that I'm of the tribe of Judah. Our Messiah was from the tribe of Judah. And it says that I'm adopted in. So until Messiah tells me different, that's my tribe. That doesn't mean that I have to run to an ultra-Orthodox synagogue and accept all of their traditions. But it does mean that I have committed to the walk of Torah and that I obey the commandments to the best of my ability. I sometimes fail in doing that, and my wife can tell you that I'm not perfect, and she will if you listen very long. But we throw other things at you, other words. Thank you. Bless these young people. You'll probably find some of them on the sober line tonight. Last year, the young people about the size of the one that came up here, they came and they said, we want to serve a meal. I said, okay. And they did. And did an excellent job. So, these young people have it tougher than we do that are older. You know, to change the way we walk in a commandment for Donna and I is a fairly simple process. But these children have to deal with other children who have other beliefs. And they have the pull of the world. And we have to encourage them. That's why you should bring your children and grandchildren to the festival. They need kids that are going through the same problems they are. And the kids talk together and they say, well, this is how I handle this. You know, when it's Christmas at school, this is the way we work it out. And they'll help each other. This festival has also been either directly or indirectly responsible for 8 or 10 people that met at our festival who wound up being married. So we know that young people come together and they meet other observant young people, and that there are new families born into Israel. And it's not something that we are pressing, it's just something that happens within the family. Your worship is a very involved process, and it begins with attitude. It begins with our attitude, your attitude, my attitude. It begins with our attitude toward Yahweh as our Father. Because if we have proper attitude toward Yahweh, then we will have the proper attitude toward one another. It doesn't just mean showing up the festival the first day and making no further attempt to do anything, just coming to the meetings and then going back wherever we live. But I want to share with you today, the new people especially, the nuts and bolts of some of our festival happenings. I went to a festival one time, and it was out on the West Coast. It was the only festival that church sanctioned out there. The people that had been coming to it had probably been coming together 30 years. And Donna and I walked in, and we were, I don't know, we'd been in the church 4 or 5 years by then. But we walked into Lake Tahoe. We'd gone out there. We thought it'd be a beautiful place to spend feast. We went to the first meeting. And when the last prayer was said, everybody in the room fled like quail. We were just left standing there because these people were so used to coming together. Before they got to the festival, they had exactly mapped out what they were going to do every day, what party they were going to, and they just really didn't try to mix in the new people. And we want you to mix in. Sometimes you can do that by volunteering. It's a good way to meet other people. Go to the resource room and just stand around and talk. Somebody will talk to you. Maybe. But we want you to have an attitude of worship, of caring, of sharing. This feast is a miniature representation of what the millennial will be. Now, the millennial kingdom is going to have all sorts of problems. And as humans, we have all sorts of problems. We need to work through it. We need to see that we can solve our own problems within this small area. And then we'll have some idea of what the problems that we work on the bigger area are. Our space is somewhat limited at times, and you may not be able to go to every activity you'd like to. And we're sorry for that, but that's the way it works out. That's just the way it is. You'll just have to deal with it. Now, all of our sessions are going to be recorded, I think. So if you missed a session you really wanted to hear, go to the resource room, it should be there. In Deuteronomy 16:13-17, it said, you shall celebrate the Feast of Booths 7 days after you've gathered in your threshing floor and your wine vat. Here's a command again that we're to celebrate at Sukkot. And by this time of year, most of us are reasonably certain what our income's going to be in December when we get that, you know, start thinking about taxes. know, I'm self-employed, and I've got a fair idea of what my year will end up to be. If you're working for somebody else, you know how many paychecks you're going to get to the end of the year. The time to begin to plan for next year's festival and set aside some money is the week after you get home from this festival. If it's nothing more than never using change, just break a dollar bill, and that night when you get home with that change, drop it in a jar. You'll be surprised how much it adds up to. If you have a windfall profit or something, put it in that jar. First thing you know, you will have the money that it takes to come to festival. We're all to celebrate, and we're here to celebrate. It says in verse 14, you shall rejoice in the festival. You and your son and your daughter and your male and your female servant, the Levite, stranger, the orphan, and the widow in your tent. We're to rejoice together, and we're to rejoice with our whole family. When you started coming to the feast, did you ask members of the family if they'd like to come with you? They may think you're just nuts. But invite them to come with you. First feast I ever went to, Donna wasn't a believer. I said, I'm going to the festival whether you go or not. And we talked about it a little while. I said, now you can go with me, and I don't care if you go to the teachings or not. And back then they weren't teaching so much as sermons. I said, we went to Florida. I said, you can go to the beach, drink beer, and work on your tan. And that's what she did. I'd get up and get dressed, go to church in the morning. She'd put on a bathing suit, grab a radio and her rice chest, and away she went. But that was okay, because coming home from that festival, she made a commitment to this walk. And she made it without me knowing. I found her, after we got back, I found her having up with our pastor talking about being baptized. I didn't have a clue. But we have walked together now. And sometimes exposing your family to what you're really doing, you know, invite them for the fun. If they sit into one of our sessions, they're going to learn something by osmosis. You know, we got children laying on pallets around here. And you'll think they're not paying a bit of attention. But it's not long before one of them will say, you know, they said in the sermon today, you know, they hear a lot more and they pick up on our attitudes. Did you leave anybody home at your congregation who would like to come to the feast but couldn't afford it? If you did, make a vow next year to at least help them come, whatever that involves. It may involve you renting a van and bringing them with you. Every year at the feast, Donna and I try to help somebody go to the festival. Not necessarily this one, but some festival. Sometimes it does good, sometimes it doesn't. A lot of our congregations have elderly people that don't think they can travel. Did you help them get prepared so even if they're alone, they'll be able to worship the, or keep the cup? Is that the new thing? Good. We're trying out something new back on the speaker table. We're to appear before Yahweh, and we're to bring an offering. It says, give as you have been blessed. And I think of the widow's mite. Yeshua was sitting in the temple, and the widow came up, and she dropped in all she had. And we're not told anything else about this widow. But I cannot in my heart believe that Yahweh didn't bless that widow and didn't take care of her, because she had made an offering of all she had. We're not asking for all you have. We'll leave you enough gas money to get home. But it does take money to put on this festival. And we talked about the little donation box. And the way that, another way the festival makes money is in the resource room. We sell the tapes of the messages. And there's some books and things on the feast table in there. Everybody in there in some way has a ministry, and for some of them this is the way they support their ministry. On our table you'll find a box that says donations, and if you'll just drop a donation in there, it'll go to the prison ministry, and there's also some Ten Commandment calendars there. For a donation, take one with you. Make two donations, take two with you. And we're not saying how much you need to donate. We'll leave that between you and Yahweh. We ask that all the parents here take control of their own children. We see a lot of times that the actions of the children are a mirroring of the parents. So we would ask that if you have children, that you watch what they're doing. Don't just turn them loose. We don't run a nursery. We will have a children's program, but you have to participate in that. We find many times that children are wasteful, and it's because they haven't been taught better. If you've been asked to help, we appreciate that. And as we go through the camp, we need to keep our camp clean. If you see something on the floor, pick it up. If you're eating and somebody leaves a dirty plate on the table, take it to the trash. We just ask you to use some common sense. We also ask that for the newcomers to the feast, that you practice modesty. We've been to the festivals where there were some skimpy bikini things. We don't have a dress code. All we ask is that you cover your skin and wear the least fitting clothing, if that is the case. You know, like my shirt. I get bigger sizes all the time. Your input is important. It's like tonight at the hamburger supper. We would appreciate you coming and bringing your food early so that we can get the hamburgers cooked. That means I got 1 minute, is that right? Okay. Maybe we can bring some more of this up in the question. If you bring a giraffe burger, which is a clean animal, and you want to eat that giraffe burger, then you need to come out there and cook it and take care of it. Because if you leave it with us, it's going in the pot with everything else. You know, we will cook the hamburgers. You just need to bring them. We prefer patties. Do not bring any lettuce if that's on your list. Bring a dessert or whatever it is. But we're going to have this hamburger supper, and everybody's invited. You need to go get the hamburger and bring it to us, and bring your buns. We'll provide everything else you need. Okay, I have 15 minutes for questions. And anybody have a question? If not, I've got a few more comments. Okay, question? This? Well, it arose out of Joe Good saying in Israel they celebrate with great mounds of chocolate. So I decided that we would decorate the stage. It's the first year the basket hadn't been out earlier. But I decided, you know, it's tradition. It's our tradition. It's my tradition. So that is what that's about. For you newcomers, I would like to also say that our traditions may not make any sense to you and you don't understand them, if you don't, ask us what we're doing. We'll be glad to tell you. When you're studying, study slowly. Don't make any radical moves. You know, I'm going to use this analogy. For the new ones that have never, this is your first feast, you're the babies. And you're on this walk. And you're going to walk, and you're going to crawl, and you're going to learn. But don't make a change in your life until you've convinced yourself out of your own Bible that that's the way you should go. You know. Another question. The ladies' luncheon. Okay. If you'll check the registration, they will see that you get something to tell you where to go. My wife tells me where to go all the time. We have another question.